And welcome back to A Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott alongside Dennis O'Hare. Dennis, if you were going to do a TED Talk, what would be your topic?
Listening.
Oh, Dennis.
Yeah, no, I'm serious.
Real listening.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
How we listen and ways to do it and how sometimes that can just bring you really unexpected, wonderful things.
Well, now I feel really silly for the answer I was going to give because it will be about the perception of women who own cats. Because
that's a great one.
There's this perception that's not always positive. Well, our next guest will be very familiar to the NPR faithful. Guy Raz is the host and editorial director of TED Radio Hour, which airs here Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. And Dennis, you know, each radio episode is based on actual talks given by speakers on the TED stage. He joins us now to talk about the program and the program's upcoming new episodes, which begin March 6th. Guy, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Rose. Thanks, Dennis.
Let me ask you this, and I know you get this question. What is it about the TED Radio Hour that you know, feel sort of captivates the listener? And I know that's a question you've gotten before, but there is something pretty special about it. What do you think it is?
Well, first of all, thank you for saying that. It's really amazing and gratifying to hear that when we hear people say that about the show, because I don't think any of us could have expected the kind of impact that it's had on our listeners, you know, that this idea that a radio show can really change somebody, that it can really change a life. And we've experienced that, which is just mind-blowing. I mean, I think part of it is that we're in a place, we're like in a – our culture has arrived to a place where there's a real hunger for ideas and ideas that sort of explore the human condition. You know, I was in news my whole career. And news is really important, right? So we want people to listen to public radio and to read the papers and to be informed. But news is also tough. You know, we're living in a really tough news time where the news is sometimes, not sometimes, almost every day, it's hard to read. You know, it's divisive. Mm-hmm. We're news about injustice or war or poverty or hunger or terrorism. And I feel like with what we're doing, it's a show about the human species, the fact that we are just an advanced primate species. We're pretty similar, whether you live in a mud hut in the developing world or in a high-rise in New York City. We all experience compassion and happiness and courage and love, and these are human experiences. And I think it's that idea that really resonates with people, that we are all basically the same thing.
And is that idea, is that sort of the core of the process of selecting the episodes that, you know, you're going to air? Because it's a little bit different when you're in the audience because a speaker has videos and graphics and slideshows. I attended a TED Talk here in Atlanta at Emory University, and there was a robot on stage. So that, you know, that had my attention. But when you're talking about, you know, presenting this on the radio, you have to take a different approach, I imagine.
It's true. I mean, and you know this as a radio person, that you have to be really careful about how you use visual things on the radio. You know, if it's over-explained, it's sort of kind of like, you know, letting the air out of a balloon. It just steals the thunder of the whole thing. So there are TED Talks that are amazing but so super visual that we haven't figured out how to use them yet. But we really do think about creating a balance between big ideas, narrative, and of course, science. You know, science is at the heart of we try to make it at the heart of every episode that we do, whether it's social science or behavioral science or the physical sciences. That we really want the themes that we tackle, even if it's something like collaboration or compassion, to be rooted in real research. You know, and that I think is what is sort of, I hope, is what gives the show a different kind of sound and feel, because it's not just about it's not a feel good show. I mean, there are things, you know, there are elements in the show that aren't happy, but
sure,
it is fundamentally an optimistic show, and we don't apologize for that. We do want each show to be optimistic or to leave you feeling like there are possibilities.
So, in order to fill those parameters, what does a person have, not just to give a TED Talk, but to do one that ends up on your show with you also talking to them about what they said? I mean, being smart, being creative, I mean, that's part of it. But what is that little extra that you look for in trying to find somebody to talk to?
Yeah. I mean, it's a great question, Dennis, because I think that there's no real answer. You know, there's no real formula. It's sort of like, I'm sure you guys get asked this question of, you know, what makes a good story? Like, how do you know when to put a story on? And it's tricky in our business because what we do is an art, not a science. And so much of it is just based on our own fallible, you know, judgments. And that's more or less the same with our show. I mean, oftentimes a show begins with a talk that's great and then themes in that talk that I think we can build a show around. And I will look for other talks that fit in with that theme. And then it comes down to, you know, sometimes who's the best talker, who's got a great story in their talk, who has new ideas, who has real science behind what they're saying. So there's no real formula, but it's really a matter of just kind of intuition and judgment and just experience in sort of understanding what will work in the format and what will work on the radio.
Of course, one thing that draws folks is a big name. So does being a celebrity, even if it's a celebrity in science, help?
It's a great question. I mean, I think that the answer is no, it doesn't. I mean, we have had very famous people on the show like Sting and Richard Branson. Mm-hmm. And then we've had, you know, completely unknown people, totally unknown, whose TED Talks didn't have huge numbers of viewers, but once they were on our show, you know, that person all of a sudden, like, their Twitter feed lights up and all this stuff. I mean, it's just not that important, you know. Celebrity isn't important, or your credentials or your pedigree. It's really about what you have to say, you know. And TED is an amazing phenomenon, you know, this idea of standing up and just talking about an idea that has really kind of captured people around the world. You know, there are these self-organized TED events called TEDx events. You have one in Atlanta, mm-hmm. Several in Atlanta probably, mm-hmm. Where people can stand up and talk about an idea. And that's a really amazing, powerful tool that TED has sort of kind of unleashed into the world.
You mentioned the TEDx, and the one that I attended had everything from sex trafficking to civil discourse to the disability of how we treat the disabled, and they were fascinating. Guy, I'm curious, because when we talk about the selection of the episodes, how much do you pay attention to the climate of the world? What's taking place, whether it's here in our country or what's taking place around the world? Are you sort of, you know, conscious of that so that people feel like there is a connection here? Or you just really simply say, look, this is a very good one and we're just going to go with it?
No, we try not to do – I mean, I try not to do shows that are tied to news events. On the other hand, when I think about it, there's no way to avoid that, right? Like, so unconsciously, you know, it's always going to – you're exposed to a bunch of different ideas, and so that's always going to influence how you – choose what topics to tackle on the show. Like, we've done shows about secrecy and privacy, and it's no coincidence that, you know, we've all been talking about these issues for the last several years, certainly with the Snowden revelations, and we mention that in the show. But we try to make the shows as evergreen as possible, shows that can be heard, you know, in a year from now and that won't feel dated, or 2 years from now, that really sort of cover the human experience, the experience of just being, you know. And so there's no question that sometimes what's happening sort of enters into the conversation. But I think in general we try to sort of leave that to our news programs, because they do such a good job with focusing on news pegs and topical stuff. And I feel like the place for our show is to kind of offer up these universal ideas.
And is there sort of a tiered level of that an episode has to go through before it gets that final slot for the TED Radio Hour? And are you the final sort of it's almost like American Idol guy, you know, yay or nay, you're going to Hollywood. You make the final decision.
I do. I mean, it's a little bit – I mean, it's a very collaborative process. It's a team of six of us. We've all worked together for a long time at NPR. Some of the people on the staff were my interns. I mentored them. There are people on the staff who mentored me when I was an intern. It's an incredible team. You know, I've been at NPR for 17 years, and we've got veterans and people who've been in the company just a few years. We have many, many sort of sessions where we talk through a narrative arc. We call it a storyboard. We work with our partners at TED to come up with themes and the topics. I usually come up with the themes and the speakers, but then I'll sort of throw out, you know, 25 or 30 potential speakers, and I'll let our team kind of hash it out. We all hash it out together, and we all make the case for who we think should be on the show and try to come to a consensus. Well, then we then work with TED on, you know, getting their input, and then we go. You know, I start to interview people, and things start to come together. It takes about 2 months to make one episode because it goes through different iterations. We rewrite. We listen together as a group. We're just doing that right now with a forthcoming show. I just finished doing that with our team. Then I rewrite it, and then we listen through again, and then we make more changes, and then write it a third time. I record it three times before it actually gets onto the air, so we can actually listen to it as a produced show, and then oftentimes we will just tear it apart and completely redo it.
You yourself have covered conflicts in everywhere from Afghanistan to Kosovo. You were stationed in Jerusalem for a couple of years. So you, as well as anybody, could see how the people who are proposing solutions and talking about our common humanity often fall on deaf ears. Where do you want these talks to go? And do you think that we and our leaders, you know, oh, we love to hear these things, but then we don't do much about them? Where do you want it all to go?
You know, I mean, if I could sort of direct where they went, I would want everybody to be changed, right, by the things that I feel changed me. But the thing is, I mean, the thing is that you're never changed permanently, right? Like, I will hear a talk that has such a huge impact on me, and it may change my day or that hour or that moment. And I may sort of make a pledge to myself that I'm going to be a better person or try to improve something about myself and be more compassionate or something. And then you find yourself in traffic honking at the person in front of you, and you're thinking, wait, I just promised myself to be more compassionate after listening to that TED Talk. Why am I honking? Why am I not letting this person in front of me, you know? And it's moments like that that I actually find to be really helpful when I'm doing something contrary to what I asked myself not to do.
Yeah, how do we break out of that stasis of listening on the one hand and then not doing anything about it?
I mean, I think we can just try our best. You know, the best – it was actually an interview I had for the show with a TED speaker named Jennifer Senior, and we were talking about parenting, and I'm a parent, and you know, the advice that she gives is all you can do is try your best. And it seems so simple, but you can apply that to virtually anything in your life because we are all flawed and we all do stupid things and say stupid things and think stupid things. But we're also these incredibly complex biological phenomena, you know, with, you know, billions of neurons and neurotransmitters and trillions of electrical signals traveling through our brains that allow me to say the things I'm saying to you now and for you to absorb them and for me to think about what you're thinking and you to think about what I'm thinking. And I don't know, that's just amazing to me. You know, I just think that if we all kind of begin to understand that we're both complex and fairly simple, I don't know.
Let me ask you this, Guy. Do you have any personal favorites?
Oh, yeah. I have a lot. I mean, it's hard to pick just one, but I will give you just one, especially to listeners who haven't seen a TED Talk. I'd watch Ken Robinson's TED Talk. It's about creativity, and it's about how sometimes schooling and kids in school aren't sort of encouraged to find their creativity and to fulfill their creative potential. It's a beautiful talk. It's funny. They're wonderful stories. It's charming, and it's really smart. It's the most viewed TED Talk of all time with good reason. He was in our episode called The Source of Creativity. He's a wonderful person. He's absolutely brilliant. And I think his ideas have already changed hundreds of thousands or millions of lives. And again, if there's one talk to see now, it's that one, Ken Robinson's talk on creativity.
Guy Raz is the host of the TED Radio Hour, which you can hear Sunday evenings at 6 on 90.1 WABE. A new season starts March 6th. Real quickly, any ones that we should look forward to in particular?
We're doing a great show about numbers. I know you're not supposed to talk about numbers on the radio.
No, you're not.
But it's going to be totally mind-blowing because numbers, like, rule our world. you can't imagine how much of your day is ruled by numbers and algorithms, and that's what we're sort of mining. We're going to go down that rabbit hole.
And Guy, if anyone does submit something dealing with cats and the perception of women who own cats, make sure you get in touch with me, all right?
I will immediately.
Guy, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, guys.